Hi, everyone. Welcome to our weekly teaching podcast. If you weren't already aware, we have been doing online services every Sunday ever since our church temporarily closed due to COVID-19 restrictions. If you'd like to watch these services, simply go to sabochurch.ca for more information. It will be the first thing you see on the homepage. Now, without further ado, let's jump into God's Word.
All right. Hi, family. It's Dave Hamill, and I'm so happy to be able to be here with you and share via the intercoms here, and I'm happy to be asked to share the word with us this morning. For those of you who have been with us, you're part of our SCF family. Welcome aboard. For all of those who are tuning in from all over the place, we had people overseas with us last week, and so hello, world. Welcome here this morning. I want to take a little bit of time and just walk us through one of the very powerful pieces of scripture that people have held on to for millennia, and that is Psalm 91. Now, in my mind, I'm envisioning you in a very comfortable space, wearing very comfortable clothing, and maybe enjoying breakfast, maybe doing something else, but that you have tuned in here, and that's fantastic. So I want to pray to kind of get us started, and then we'll get going. So wherever you are, let's just pray together, and then we'll go. God, thank you so much for this morning and the opportunity that we have. This is not out of your plan, and everything that we're about to say and do, I just want to pray that it is of you. God, would you come and fill my mouth, fill our homes with your love, and Father, that you would just come and be part of this, and that we would find in you a safe place to hide, a safe place to come to and gather where we can find love and acceptance. So God, we give you these few minutes as we gather together in our various spots, and we love you. Pray this in your name. Amen. So here's the plan. I want to walk us through Psalm 91, and as we do that, I want to just discover a few things along the way, and then at the very end of that, I want to actually come into communion. And so hopefully you saw some of our communication there this week to have communion prepared in your home, so some bread, some crackers, something like that, and some sort of juice. And if you haven't quite done that, then somebody just excuse yourself from the space and go and grab that. You have a few minutes. We're going to walk through a couple things until we get there. But let's get that ready to go. I'm hoping that we're going to have a really significant time. This is weird for me, too. I am sitting in a room with not a whole lot else going on and a camera, and so it's weird for me, too. But let's put out all the distractions and just focus in here today. Let's do some work. Here we go. Our church, SCF, has been walking through Scripture for the last little while, and actually this teaching series is called 2020, which is, we all agree is just a little bit too on the nose for a preaching series title, but it is awesome because in the year 2020, we want to take a better look at what Scripture says and get a little bit more clear vision on what that is. And so wherever you are, raise your hand if you're still with us. I can't see you, so it doesn't matter, but I trust that you're there with me. We've been tracking through Deuteronomy just real lately. In fact, we just finished it yesterday, if you're tracking along with us, and we're just about to head into the book of Joshua. And Deuteronomy has been actually interesting. If you've been tracking along with us, you might have lost pace as we went through that. But Deuteronomy is a real great look at sort of blessings and curses. When we draw near to God, there's blessings. And when we come away from God, that there is these curses that result from that. And so we find Moses, the author of Deuteronomy, really just kind of diving in, trying to help his people understand a little bit more about who he is, who the Lord is, and how he's preparing them for this great promise that he has. And so Deuteronomy then is just a very detailed list of rules, and though it's not really perfect, it would guide the Jewish people. Well, it's still guiding the Jewish people even now, and so it's fantastic to kind of have a look at that. The reason that I say it's not perfect, just before somebody catches me on that, is that right from the get-go, they will take those words. In fact, by the time Jesus is there in his teaching years, we find that the religious leaders of the day have taken these rules and really just kind of wound them into a way that they understand their world and are using them almost worshiping the law rather than the God that the law was created to draw them close to. And so Jesus, we find him calling them out. In fact, those same people that Jesus is calling out then take him out just simply because he is messing with their system. And so that's where we're at. And so not only that, but Moses, in fact, at the end of Deuteronomy, if you're tracking along with us, you read this, Moses actually prophesies that these people will get it wrong, that they won't quite get it right. And so you will rebel from this, but here it is. And so Moses then takes on the part in Deuteronomy, an important part of becoming the prophet of God in the community. And he has this opportunity then in Deuteronomy to sort of double down on these rules for living. And so almost like the grandparent figure of the nation, getting them prepared to go on to this amazing journey that they're about to take into the promised land and do what they're going to do. And this emerging generation that's about to take over and do things that the older generation never even dreamed of. And so as they enter this, and so Moses is like the wise grandfather urging them to draw near to Yahweh. And so this next part of the story will go the way that God had intended. And so that's what we've kind of picked up. And so Moses then has been walking through this for a long time. He's been leading people for a long time. And hey, by the way, students in the room, how old do you think Moses is when I say he's really old? Moses is actually 120 years old. So if you think that 41 is ancient, my goodness, 120 years old, two things are going to happen here. A, Moses is not going to enter into the promised land. And two, or B, has limited time now to lead his people and get them prepared. And so Deuteronomy has been kind of great there. As Deuteronomy ends, we see that God takes Moses up onto a mountain. And as just part of his allowing Moses to do the leadership thing and how he's called him, he shows him a picture, a great big picture of this promised land that he's been talking about and walking towards, literally walking towards, for years. Shows him all of that, and that is the end of Moses' story, part of the story anyway. And so over the last 2.5 months, then, we've been reading through the stories of these people. We started in Genesis. If you've been following with us, we started in Genesis, kind of took a break there, went over and read Job's story, came back to Genesis, where we're reading chronologically, remember, then Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and now we're going into Joshua. So there's sort of the lay of the land. If you haven't been tracking with us, jump in right now. You're about to come into one of the great places to really jump in, and Joshua is a great time to do that and follow along. But here at the end of Deuteronomy, in our chronological read of the Bible, we actually pause from where we are and do another jump and go over to Psalm 91. And if you have your Bible with you today or your device there, go ahead and find Psalm 91. Put your finger there. We're going to come to it in just a moment. But Psalm 91, we take a little jump, and then we're going to come back into Joshua. And that's where we're going to kind of spend the bulk of our time today. So go ahead and do that. This is one of those places where we see God's power, his anointing on this, and he's walking with his kids and helping them to get ready for this next thing. I think there's awesome parallels here for us today and where you are with your life and how God is working in your life. So if you have your Bible ready for Psalm 91, it's going to be on the screen as well, and we'll start there. So Psalm 91 and verse 1 starts this way. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find in the shadow will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Some of you are reading along with me in the New Living Translation. That's what our pastoral team has been favoring lately. There's one little word there, that find rest. I almost like the word abide better. Find rest is not bad. I just hope it's not limiting. Finding rest is great, or to dwell in, or to find the safe place. abide is just a preferred word for me because I think it kind of encapsulates all those things a little bit better, at least in my understanding. Here's a quick story. Not too long ago, I was in ministry full time, and one of the things that I love to do is get away and sort of have these solo experiences with the Lord. And canoe trips for me were one of those things. I'd get away for a few days, not take too much food along with me, and just do some fasting and praying and some experience, and do some, lots of reading, even sing all by myself out there in the middle of nowhere. And I'm sure people thought I was a little bit nuts, but that's okay. On this particular trip, I had brought one of our pups along with us. His name's Deacon, and he came along with me. He was awesome on the travel there, great in the canoe. He was awesome on the portages, loved the little freedom of and reconnecting with his wolfiness, and then we just had a great time. That first night, though, we were in the tent, and I was reading with my headlight on. He had flaked out by the door of the tent, and from behind me, I could hear the cracking of sticks coming up the path that's right by the tent. And it was a long way off, but I heard it. Deacon certainly heard it. And instead of barking or something like that, he came and ran and hid right here underneath my arm. And I held him there really for the rest of the night. But as he was here, I could hear the sticks cracking just a little bit louder as they were coming a little bit closer. And then the breath, I could hear this heavy breathing as it was coming up. And I yelled out, just hoping that it was human, saying, "Hello, who's there?" And nobody responded. The noise paused for a moment, but it then kept coming. This puppy is shaking now, and he just beside himself right here with this noise. Because of where the moon was just here, I can't see what's coming, and I'm in a tent. And as the cracking and the breathing comes closer and into view, the shadow of the moon and the shadow on the tent, it was a black bear. And it was right there at the door of our tent, and there was my pup hiding underneath my arm and shivering like crazy. So I had a puppy under my arm, I had my knife in my other hand, and I am praying loudly in the tent, hoping that nothing goes wrong, but I'm prepared just in case. The bear paused for a moment and sniffed our tent, and then went on to our campsite and tried to get at our food. Couldn't get that, went off, and the next morning we found it absolutely ransacked our neighbors who weren't quite as prepared as us. Two things happened, though, as a result of that. Deacon barely left my side for the rest of the night. In fact, he barely slept for the rest of the night, shivering there and just being altogether frightened. And two, I became the absolute favorite amongst us in the house after that moment. See, Deacon and the bear and me are kind of a good story for what we're about to experience here in Psalm 91, because it's a picture of us drawing near to God, hiding in his shadow, and looking to him for all things. In fact, abiding is exactly just that, finding a resting place or a safe place, our shelter. Let's read verse 1 again. We'll add verse 2 this time. I'm going to switch that word to abide, though, as well. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. See, here's the beauty. The simple truth is you're just simply not able to do it on your own. And isn't that freeing? That we need God, that we need him. John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus is talking about the branch, which is us, in this parable, and the vine, which is him. And if the branch is apart from the vine, it can't bear fruit. And that's us. Or maybe you appreciate the idea that a cut flower, while it looks beautiful for a time, and we can add things to the water and make it look a little bit more beautiful for a little longer time, eventually that flower shows off what it really is all by itself. It's been cut off from the plant and it's dead. Isn't that super romantic? Another place Jesus will talk about whitewashed tombs. And while they look clean and neat on the outside, they're simply full of death. And so apart from him, we can do nothing. Abiding in him is far more comprehensive. It's far more than just owning the right Bible or the perfect Spotify mix or knowing the words to the songs that you're singing without having to look or giving to any kind of campaign or serving at the church. Abiding in him is being intimately connected to the vine. And if you're not intimately connected to the vine, you're simply a puppy putting up a brave front in front of a black bear. You see where I'm going with that? Let's continue on. Verse 3 and 4. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. A trap, or some of your translations might say a fowler's snare, which is a different language, but it's a hunting tool. It's used to catch birds with a little bit of bait and then catches them as they're about to fly off. And then some of your translations, instead of deadly disease, will say a pestilence, which is a fatal epidemic. Timely. Matthew 23:37. The last part of that, Jesus is speaking to all of Israel and saying, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. See, this is our God who stands at the door and knocks, who leaves the 99 to find the one. One of the most basic points of the cross is that if Jesus went through all of that and could have only saved you, he would have. That is the greatness, the kind of sacrificial love that we're talking about. The last piece of verse 4 then is about his faithful promises. And the question that comes to me is, do you know him? Do you know those promises? Here at SCF, we have three things that we are known for. And the first one is to know him, or to know God. If we are going to be these people that are known by these things, an SCF family, that is what we have joined into, then we have to know him. Wouldn't it be great if we were people who followed our rabbi, our teacher, so well, so closely that we're covered in the dust that comes off of his sandals when he moves? And so the challenge is to read scripture this year, and it is awesome. Because if you're not quite with us at the moment, then jump in. Because we need to know these promises. We want to discover more about our Savior, and we want to do that this year all together. If you're not faithful with these faithful promises, then it's time to come home. Verse 5 and 6. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Did we cover 24 hours there? There's night and day, darkness and midday. See, it never stops. God's love never stops for us. One of my favorite songs that we sing here at the church, and you can look it up for free out there some way, is called Waymaker. And the bridge of that song says this: even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop. You never stop working, and that's 100% true. He doesn't wait for us to recognize his presence. He doesn't wait for us to finally understand. He's our advocate, you know? He's our Savior providing salvation, even when we're not quite sure that we need it yet. And this is the great love of our Lord. Let's go on. Verse 7. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. This is a direct foreshadowing of what the people of Israel are about to experience as they go into the promised land, but also indirectly. Do you ever feel like you are living in a world with people and all around you that are falling into the traps and the snares of the enemy? See, Christ follower, you are called to life. You're called to abide. The way of death is what you used to be obsessed with, but no longer. You're now obsessed with his ways, his life. It's his truth. For you died to that life. Your new life is now hidden with God, and you have joined this royal priesthood. You're an agent of change in the world, making ripples for the kingdom everywhere you go. This is what we need to have a look at. And if it's not quite that in your life, then we need to deal with that, and we need to do that right away. Verse 8 says, just open your eyes and see what's happening around you. And it reminds me of Colossians chapter 3 and the Message paraphrase. I actually love, because in just simplifying the language, it makes this stand out for me. But let me share it with you and see if it strikes a chord too. It says this, Colossians 3 verse 1 and 2 in the Message, it says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, then act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you, but look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ, because that's where the action is. And see things from his perspective. So good. So good. Let's carry on. Psalm 91, verse 9, and we'll go right to 13 this time. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go, and they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. Does any of that sound familiar? I think it probably should, because when Jesus was tempted for 40 days and Satan came to him, this is the scripture that he actually quotes to Jesus. The problem for him is that he was actually trying to tempt the author of the book, and Jesus stood under that temptation. But are you tempted in any way? Abide in him. Lean into him. Are you nervous about a plague of any sort? Turn and hold on to him. He is your refuge, the oasis in the desert, the way maker. In fact, verse 13 calls out the tempter. Who is the serpent in Eden in Genesis? Who is the stalking lion in 1 Peter 5:8? The promise to the abiding person is that they will tread on him. They will trample him. Do you remember? How could you forget in Elijah's story when God opens his eyes and he sees the army of angels all around him? Do we need that? Do you need to see that? God is protecting you everywhere you go. You don't have to wonder. An abider is never alone. Abider is always with the Lord. Then verse 14 to 16 caps it off like this. It's a promise from the Lord. So let's read it all aloud. It'll be on the screen. Read it with me. Let's do that together. Verse 14. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with long life and give them salvation. So you see, family, this is our God. He stands ready to be our refuge, our shelter, our protector, and he waits with his arms open wide, waiting for you. This is the same God who has created this sacrificial system that we just started reading about. And that sacrificial system then will pave the way for Jesus, who comes as a sacrificial lamb, to break down those walls, break every chain, so that we can come to him and we can love him and abide in him. His immense love covers all and is free. In just a minute, I'm going to read through the entirety of Psalm chapter 91 for us. But as we go to the end of our time here, I want to just prepare for communion. And so hopefully you have those elements ready. Pastor Ken's going to come and give us a final benediction, and then I want you to step in here. But as we go through this, communion is a symbolic story told through food. And I love that. It's my love language. God made the meal. Jesus set the table. Holy Spirit, please help us to understand it. The bread and the juice represent the body and the blood of Jesus. On the cross, his body, already beaten and bruised, is given for us. His perfect sacrifice for our imperfection, His life for our death, His love for our hate, and His blood poured out like on the altar to cover our sin, the sin that you so cleverly think you've hidden. This is the great gift. And so as we eat and drink those symbols and remember the sacrifice that has been given, it's not something that we deserve. In fact, scripture that we're about to read is going to walk us through why we need to take a moment and just reflect on ourselves. And so I want you to imagine that Jesus is there with his arms open wide. And between you and him, there might be obstacles. What are they for you? And one by one, as we come into this next place, let's get rid of those things all over the place and clear the path so you and the Lord can abide. You can abide in the Lord and find in him your everything. So I would like somebody to be the reader, and I want you to find 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 30. And in just a moment, I'd like you to lead and read through that scripture for everybody who's in the room, and then you can take communion together. And I hope it's a really significant time. But as I wrap my part of this morning up, I want to read through Psalm 91 for you as a prayer over you, and I want to pray for you as well. And so I just hope that wherever you are, you're drawing near to who the Lord is. Let me pray for us, and then I'll read Psalm 91. God, thank you for our time here. And as we come into communion, as we come into a time of drawing near to you, God, would you help us wherever we are, whatever fears or things that we're dealing with, the things that we have weighing us down, God, would you clear those away? Would you help us to identify those things even now and begin to give them to you so that you can show us what kind of redeemer you really are? So, Father, we want to give you this time. It's significant for us. We love you. This prayer, I'm going to continue in Psalm 91. Thank you for the gift of it. Psalm 91, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from the deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers, and he will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disease that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. He will order his angels to protect you wherever you go, and they'll hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on the stone. You will trample upon the lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. And when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation.
Thanks for listening. If we mentioned another sermon or video in this teaching, you can find the link for that in the show notes of this episode. If you'd like to watch a video version of this teaching, there's also a link in the show notes to our YouTube page. Thanks again for listening. We hope you come back next week for more.